Okay. Welcome, everybody, to Thursday, August 21st, a regular board meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Let's start with saying the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll go back to number one, and we'll do the roll call.
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Mr. Pleasant?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. Thank you. Okay, now we need a motion to adopt the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion by Mr. Pleasant, second by Ms. Powers. Roll call, please.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Sorry. Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Now, right into the superintendent's report. Mrs. Mankins.
Okay, well, first week of school, things are going very well. I would say transportation is in a much better place this year than we were last year. I know some buses were running a little bit behind with field trips today, but we did expect that. This is the first day that everyone was there, so getting the little ones to the right place when they were there with just a few kids and now they're there with everyone is a significant difference. But had a great week, great staggered start. Teachers were allowed to really, had the ability to really get in and look at that data and start assessing kids so instruction can start a little quicker, and that's really the purpose of starting on that structure. Also, as you, several of you came yesterday, we were honored to have Dr. Ross, the State Superintendent of Public Instruction, show up to the Early College Building, get a tour, talk about the things that we're trying to do with that building, as well as I think he also shared his perspectives on education, very passionate perspectives on education with us. I missed the newscast on Channel 6, but I do know that it was on, but I'm not finding it on the website, so I'll see if I can get us a link to look at that. I would like to also talk. We also had our first community meeting about the early college since we've last been together at the beginning of August. Fairly well attended for kind of that town hall public meeting feel. I would probably guess, would you guys guess about 70,
sure.
75 people? Also a great show of support from our partners. I thought we fielded great questions and things went well as we engaged in that conversation. We received some pretty positive feedback. Also wanted to, I sent to you, I think just yesterday, ACT results. As you know, hopefully that came through okay, that our district was higher than the state average in all categories. I didn't know if you had any questions about that. Certainly, we want to continue to increase that score, and Aaron gets a more detailed report, so he's taking a deep dive into that. Also, he and Kathy are going to have some discussions. I sent them information about an ACT workshop today, so we'll continue to use that as the state kind of talks about that, you know, every junior taking that possibly as legislation continues to change. But pleased, English, our district was an 80%. The state average is 72%. College algebra, our district was 60%. State average is 50. Social science was 60. State average was 52. Biology, our average is 54. State average, 45. And passing all four was 41% to 32%. So certainly above in all categories, but our percentage of passage, it wouldn't be an average, and I think I just said average, but we want to continue to increase that, especially all four areas. We want to continue to focus on that and get as many kids as we can to be successful in each of those four.
Do you happen to know, are we having more students take the ACT or percentage-wise, or is it about the same?
It stayed fairly flat. Now, I haven't looked at this year compared to last, but over time it has stayed fairly flat. We know that will increase, obviously, if that becomes a junior assessment for everyone. So that'll be interesting data set to look at.
And who all does it look at for this data? I mean, anybody who takes the ACT mm-hmm. from the high school? So it could be a freshman, it could be a junior, or is this just all?
Right, it pulls, let me read the top two.
Okay.
The report reflects the achievement of your graduates on the ACT over time, and as indicated on the extent to which they are prepared for college level work. The ACT consists of it's a five-year trend of your ACT tested graduates mm-hmm. beginning with the class of 2013.
Okay.
So then it moves on from there. So, mm-hmm. We've been talking a lot about what those standards are, what it means to score an 18 in English, and that, is kind of an indicator for preparedness and how do we look at the quality core and make some adjustments, which is the ACT standards. And so we just want to continue to do that, and there's all kinds of, the factors. If you read across the bottom, it talks about, you have a 50% chance higher of getting a B in a course as opposed to a C if you meet those, the 18, I think it's a 22 in math, a 22 in science. So, we just want to continue to at least benchmark at that level.
We also have a four-year trend. Mm-hmm. Did you see anything in that?
That was on the back, I think.
Did you have any reaction to it?
And that was in specific content areas. So when you looked at math and I think it was science were the specific ones. So what we're really doing there is kind of looking at our math coursework and are we seeing a relevance between how the curriculum that those students are taking, and is it aligned? Are they in the right courses? Are we teaching things in the right sequence? We want to make sure they're exposed to that curriculum before they take the test. Right. And sometimes, we want to make sure that we're doing that in, the right way, and that now with the Algebra 2 requirement, last year's graduating class was the first one to be required to take Algebra 2. So that will be an interesting data set as those scores are incorporated as well. So we'll try to disaggregate that. Like I said, Aaron gets a much more detailed report. So he's going to pull that class out and look at him compared to those who weren't required to take Algebra 2.
Do they give you statistics on the questions, like which questions were missed more? They don't get down that detailed?
Okay. No, but he'll have some subgroup data and it's fairly thick.
Okay.
Also, I want to talk enrollment a little bit. We've been transferring some students to and from. Jonathan has become the resident expert on who we're overflowing to and where. So to hit on that, I just want to kind of give you a general overview. Right now, total students at Edgewood, we're sitting at 426. Mill Valley, 372. Northwood, 497 students, Navin 394, and Raymond 228. So we continue to be concerned about specifically some numbers at Northwood, fourth grade. District-wide, fourth grade at Raymond is high, and those students are being overflowed to Edgewood. Northwood students are also being overflowed to Mill Valley, so we're continuing to monitor that as we move forward. We do have some kindergarten overflow as well. All of our buildings aren't full, so it kind of brings us back to that redistricting piece. We know that the district has not been redistricted since for quite some time, even when East was shut down and changed to Northwood. There wasn't a redistrict done, so we'll be continuing that conversation as we move on, because certainly we need to level some things out. We'd like kids to start in their home school and finish in their home school if at all possible, so that's where we are to date. I'll give you the other buildings just so you have them. Creekview is sitting at 829. Bunzold is sitting at 810. And the high school, that's plural, two of them together, I have to get used to that, is sending at 16:35. Now, that would include your kids going to Career Academy. That's a total count of students by grade. So how many kids are in the 11th and 12th grade would also include High Point. So total district enrollment, and this was as of yesterday afternoon, so if anyone enrolled today, it's not in here, is at 5191.
And how does that compare to last year?
We're staying pretty flat, which was the prediction. As you know, right. We had the enrollment study done, mm-hmm. and there are shifts in pockets as we... we're well aware that some people are moving from the front of Mill Valley into the back of Northwood. Mm-hmm. So the shift is happening, but it appears that in general, certainly not every example, that the people moving into the house that's being vacated, mm-hmm. They don't tend to have children, or mm-hmm. at least they're not enrolled here. So we're continuing to watch that pattern as Northwood approaches 500 students, okay. which is pretty large for an elementary. Let's see, any other important things? So I have Kathy. Kathy is anxious to get off our monthly agenda, so the pressure is on Craig to finish the building so she doesn't have to come every month.
So far, I'm doing my part.
I know.
So, Kathy, do you want to start?
Sure. So we opened this week, and... really, we've had a great week. You know, some of the things are just normal. Kids missed the bus, forgot that they were supposed to be in eighth period Spanish. They're in the wrong section of chemistry and science. But other than that, the kids have had a great time. We wanted to introduce them both to the building and some of the ways that we would be teaching a little bit differently. And so this week we opened with a design challenge for them. On Monday, they were in their nucleus or their advisory groups, and they moved throughout the building experiencing and then writing and talking about the five habits of mind. And then the remainder of the week, the design challenge was, and I hope this will be the thing that continues, it's that tease of both rigor and play that we talked about. Well, we want to explicitly teach the pieces of the design challenge, because you can't just say to kids, plan, and not give them some frameworks on what that looks like and how you do that. Same thing with all of the pieces. Communicate. You just can't say, we'll do it. So the challenge for them this week is, when you think about the building, going down that ramp to where the gymnasium is, there's some seating there, but it's a wide hallway. And so the challenge for the groups was to design a game that could be played. It had to be safe. It had to be ADA approved. It had to... fall within those constraints, and then each portion of the day they have worked on those. There's a rubric that they follow, and they have to sign off with their teacher before they can move to the next step. So there's some direct instruction with that. And the winning group tomorrow, they'll present their prototypes, and then the kids are going to vote on the top five, and those top five groups go in front of the teachers, like sort of like a Shark Tank idea. They're going to ask them the questions, and then the winning group will get $100. So today they were working on budgets, and they would come to me and say, well, what if it's $105.73? And I would say, it's $100. You know, you're $573 over. Let me help you with that. So they're like, well, let's go look and see if we can find this other places. So they're doing the little piece of research with it, and I'm excited to see how they're doing. In the meantime, we've worked in, they've finished their humanities SLO, and they've done some Schoology activities for science. So on Monday, we are really ready then to start full-blown academics with them and get started. And I think the feedback from them, I mean, there's certainly some things that aren't done. They have rolled with everything. Breakfast and lunch is just on tables that are at the front of the building, and that didn't seem to faze them in the least. So it's worked out really well. We're providing a shuttle for them over to the high school, and today was without a doubt our best day that it worked. We switched a couple things, and kids were there, and sure. Only one kid didn't get back. So that's really it. It's much better than the first day when I passed Aaron bringing two kids to go over and pick up the other two. But I think we're all set now with that and ready to go. And it's been a great week. It is fun to, kids were working everywhere today, and my secretary, Dee Dee, had brought her husband through, and he goes, I saw kids working all over the building, and I never really saw an adult having to talk to them. And it was, it's pretty awesome. And that one of the things we've really stressed this week is, it's your building, you've got to take ownership for it. I mean, and they have really, really done that really well. And I talked to a young man today, I said, you know, he was running around a little, I'm like, you know, you have a choice here. You can work at a table near me, or you can do it on your own. He's like, I think I can do it on my own. I said, well, this is your one shot. Let's see. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I think they've done just a great job and really had a great week. So I can't wait to get back tomorrow either.
I do have to comment that the one thing that you forgot to say is when Dr. Ross was here, we also had the
fire alarm go off,
you know, and that was kind of interesting to see. Everybody did a great job again, because obviously I don't think you had gone through any training for that yet.
Yeah. And kids are looking at me, I'm like, oh, you know, the state superintendent's here, I'm pretty sure we're not going to not go out
right
now. So, everybody filed out. We also had to stay out because it was until the fire department came. So probably it was a good 15 minutes outside. But it wasn't raining. I mean, it could have been way worse. So
everyone did a
great
job.
It was a nice little break, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they did do a good job.
Yeah,
and since I have to have two fire drills in the first 10 days, I have one done. So
all right.
All good.
Well, thank you.
Last month you mentioned the schedules might not be ready.
Schedules are all ready, every one of them. Mm-hmm. Now today I realized I was looking through and one of my classes had 33, a science class, and the other had 27. I'm like, ooh, wait, I can fix this. Now they both have 30. I don't know that Jen Solomon was quite excited, but I know Jason Worth was happy, so it works out. So all the schedules, and I think they're, you know, that's the nice thing about that small group of kids. We could hand go through them to make sure they were all right. And we made a couple shifts today. We had kids that would go over to the high school for both band and choir and Spanish. And the Spanish 2 class at the high school had like 31 kids, and ours had about 21. So I gave them the option. I said, any of you would prefer to come back? And I had about 5 or 6 say yeah. Others said, you know, I have sports over there right after school. It's easier to stay. But so they shifted back, and that helped some numbers between the two classes. But other than that, they look really good and make sense to the kids. They're hard to read the way they print out, so we just went over it with them. We said, well, we're here. Let's write it on a piece of paper you can understand. So I think we're all set to go.
Sounds great. Sounds like a lot of cooperation between the buildings and teachers and kids.
We couldn't have done it without everybody coordinating. And, and both Joanne and Ron have been so helpful. And like last night about 8, I realized that today would be a Monarch schedule at the high school. I'm like, all right. So I had to say, ooh, we're going to shift our times a little bit for our shuttle and lunch. And they both were like, no problem. So that's been wonderful.
Good. Thank you.
Greg, there's press across your forehead.
Hold on for a second. So if the kids are going to take ownership of the building, can we get them still some flooring for me? Can we work that out?
Sure.
It could be a design project, right?
Yeah.
Well, we made our first milestone. We said, and I was extremely confident the entire time. Some people doubted me, but I knew.
At 1:30 on Friday, I might have doubted you.
I told you it would get better or get worse before it would get better, and it got better. And so we made our first milestone. The next milestone is having the facility ready for life safety on the 15th. That's ready, not through it, because sometimes there's things we have to do after that. But that's our next big milestone for Area A. And our flooring, as most of you know, because some of it had to come from a far off land, most all linoleum from the 3 big manufacturers is made in Europe. And so with a short time frame of this project, we weren't able to get it here necessarily for the opening. But as I understand, it was initially supposed to be here in the middle of September. It may be here in 2 weeks, which is a little bit better time frame. So we're going to push to get all of Area D, what we call the IT area, and all C, the core academics. So hopefully before the middle of September, you're seeing a lot of that flooring in, and it's taking that building to the next level. Just even from Monday to today, finishing ceiling tile, taking care of odds and ends, it's just getting better day by day and looks even more and more impressive. So we're very pleased. and we hope the district is very pleased as we continue to finish up the last bit. Probably by the end of September, or by the end of September, you'll see the equipment into the mechatronics. We'll have it connected, and I don't know what happens after that. Someone does something with it, I assume, but that's not my part. I just get it connected. So right about that time, hopefully we'll be getting ready for a dedication.
Great.
So I didn't bring any pictures, so you all have to go over and see it if you haven't been there already.
It looks good.
Yeah, it does. It looks really nice.
Again, even without the flooring is a little detracting, and that is going to be here soon. But, you know, the finishes, the doors, the colors.
Don't you just love it?
There's something to be seen. Man, I got a text saying, embrace it.
The only question I had is, we talked about covering that old Marysville Middle School sign.
We weren't able to get the mason to, because he was so busy trying to finish up to get it cut off. We're going to keep both the lettering and your monument sign, and I got to check with Columbus Graphic to see where they are with your new digital monument sign.
Okay.
And get you an idea. That unfortunately takes a while. That's a very long lead time on that digital graphic.
Right.
So it's going to be, I'm hoping to have it by dedication, but I don't know. it's going to make the place look great out front. It's going to be a really neat thing to have, that digital sign, but it just takes a long time to get.
Is there any way to just cover up the old one in the meantime?
Yes. So that's a very good question. And it was really the best of intention to try to get that done. So today, actually, after I left and I looked at the sign, I said, you know, I said I'd get that covered. So I did contact a company that we deal with, see if we can get a slip cover to slip over it.
Yeah, right.
It was just on one of our many to-do things that,
right,
unfortunately I didn't get to, and I apologize for that, but we'll get it taken care of readily so we can cover it up. And then we will also take down the Marysville Middle School sign. That'll be replaced with the Union County, I have it written
Innovation
down.
Innovation Center,
so
right.
Union County
Innovation Center,
that's right.
Right.
So that will be replaced as soon as that's same type of lettering, same height, it'll just be in the same location. To kind of cover up, because it'll be a little bit funny behind that we take it off.
Right.
So I will make that a priority, get that taken care of, and get our Vasili sign actually, probably take that down at this point, and get ready for hopefully our digital sign.
I have to tell you, yesterday when we were there, I was reminded of past construction projects in this district when you see students hustling from one area of the building to another, and construction workers trying to get their equipment, materials. And they're walking around in hard hats, and the kids are running around.
Kids are taking it in stride.
It was certainly a center of energy.
Yeah. That it is. It is a center of energy is a good way to put it. And we are busy at work. We've now moved our contractors working, if they're working 10 hours, they work 1 to 11 or 3 to 11. And so, you know, going to any classrooms and all that. But, yeah, they're busily around trying to finish things up. And I think just in, like I said, 1 week's time, the what we call punch list, the little things. There's still a number of things to fix and touch up and correct. But we've got a lot of things taken care of. So it's going to get even better as we move forward. Next week or two, it should be, right, other than waiting for floors and getting the flooring in. Does the board have any other questions?
Just appreciate what you're doing. Yeah, it's really looking. It looks beautiful.
It's just going to get better. I just can't wait until we. And then when we open up that big piece of glass and have that equipment in there, it's going to be just a really neat showpiece.
Good for you guys. Can't wait to see all the furniture and everything.
I know.
Oh, me too.
Thank you for everything you guys have done.
Yeah.
Well,
it
also helps working with folks like yourself, folks like Mike and Jeff Wargo, Diane, Kathy, it doesn't go perfect. I mean, there's things that we, you know, probably should have done differently or otherwise, and having them just work with us, and it makes our lives a lot easier, that's for sure. They're very flexible and very cooperative. So, good for them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
I think she should stay at the full board.
You know, all right.
See ya.
Only if you stay, she said.
Okay. Absolutely. Come on.
Do you want anything back?
No, just a little.
The other piece that I'll hit on will be the pedestrian bridge. There's been a lot of conversation around that. Understanding that connects Mill Valley, really the city has been working on connectivity And so that comes along the path behind the soccer stadium and runs into Amrine Mill. That's all the city's work, city's responsibility for putting that path down, not our money going to that project. We do have an agreement with the city that I think I've sent to each one of you as well, talking of kind of roles and responsibilities, you know, what happens when it snows, or how's it going to be lit, or what about security after football games, all those kind of things that, you know, your high school principal mind starts racing when you think about those things. So we're excited to bring that in. I know the different programs are talking about, athletic programs are talking about different ways that might increase the community coming to their games, and so they're trying to maybe when that's, I'm not sure when it's going to be done. Terry Emery shared that at a meeting, and then it kind of changed during the meeting. So,
going pretty fast.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that it was a way to kind of, you know, maybe they could do something in Mill Valley to connect people to the game and offer them to come or things like that.
Do you know
like
if they're going
to
put a parking lot out there, Diane? Have they decided if they're putting... I've had a few people ask
In Mill Valley?
Yeah.
Where,
you know,
where it starts, kind of, yeah.
There
yeah.
is
yeah.
conversation about that, but last yeah. I heard that was not completely confirmed.
Okay. Right.
Is that
right.
Jonathan sits on that committee for us, so...
Yeah, what they're doing is financially they're not able to meet that right now. It's
right.
It's something that they're planning for the future.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They're looking at making sure, you know, with those two pathways that go up that you can access the bridge. So, okay. And making sure that's all nice and safe. And then... planning for the future for eventually something coming in on those down towards that bridge.
Okay.
Plans for the future, something to work on.
I just thought, I mean, it was nice to have that letter from the city and everything's written down, and so it's just good, just another example of working together well with
right,
them. So.
Right. Certainly they have been great in that project as well, and it's a great opportunity to provide a walking path for some of our students who live in Mill Valley as well. Mm-hmm. So we're excited about that.
Okay. All right.
That's it for me.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson, Treasurer's Report.
Just one thing to mention on the financials. I received a question regarding negative balances. You might notice on the FinSum report, those aren't always a big red flag. I keep an eye on those negative balances. So sometimes you'll see a negative balance in a fund, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. For instance, in our 500 funds, those are our grant funds. You'll oftentimes see a negative balance at the end of each month because those are basically reimbursed. So, you know, we're in compliance there. We spend the money, and then we request the money at the end of the month from the state. So the beginning of the month, that fund is back in the black, and then it gets spent down again. So that's perfectly normal. You might also notice a deficit in maybe the student fees accounts, where we allow the building principal to spend ahead of collection of the fees. Mm-hmm. Same thing with maybe the student activities accounts, where maybe they had to spend some money to start a fundraiser and things like that. So we do keep an eye on those balances. The main thing I wanted to talk about, though, we have Jeff Gordon with us today to talk about our 20-year permanent improvement assessment. So I will turn it over to Jeff and let him enlighten us.
First, I want to say again, thank you for having myself and the Big 12 here to do this assessment for you. I know that it's not an easy thing to get done, as Mike knows from his department, the amount of work it takes to get something like this done is tremendous, and just gathering the data. And so I think Mike and Jeff Largo and his group for making sure that we're able to get all that information and forward with this project. I won't spend time going over every slide with you, and you have it in front of you in categories. I will go over the summary. I apologize because I have a bit of a cold today. We'll go over the summary here, and then I can answer any questions that you may have. I'm sure you guys know this, and I just summarized here. You guys have over 1.1 million square feet of buildings, and as you renovate and add building space and add new buildings, it's great with new buildings. That adds your cost down the road, and that's what I think the goal of this assessment was, to get that 20 years down the road and be able to take a good look at what it's going to cost you or what it's going to take to maintain these facilities, because they all age, they all they get older. You put in your ice chillers this summer, replace those, we've done some work with that or are planning to. That's something that you're putting in now, but by the end of this assessment, you're going to have to do again. And so just planning for those is a huge piece of it. The other part of this is we looked at this in two pieces, and one was the, and we'll jump past the totals just real quick to kind of, I'll jump back to show you the years 1 to 10 and years 11 to 20. And what you'll see in years 1 to 10, I'll cover you in different categories, but we did it this way, trying to give you an idea so you can get a yearly average of what it's going to take yearly for the first 10 years and the second 10 years. And we break that down because sometimes you see a difference. But something will jump out at you that you might not catch, but it's all grouped in, and you see where you find the pattern. And if you look, just roofing is a good example. If you look at your roofing costs, the $1.9 million over the first 10 years, well, those skyrocket based on the age of your buildings and when those life cycles come forward to over the second 10 years, looking at $8 million. Again, now these are most of these items are life cycle, so you know we plan for what the industry standard is for life cycle, but that with good maintenance, you can sometimes get that longer. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you get equipment. As we all know, we do a lot of our bid work on we either buy it, say, term, or we do low bidder. When you get that low bidder, you get the product that was a low bid, and sometimes that doesn't always work out. So where you have a boiler or a domestic hot water tank that's supposed to have 15-year life, you may get 8 years out of it. But you may have another brand that you get, you know, 20 years out of. So it's using that expected life cycle, and usually will give you an average of what you expect with those items. Transportation vehicles, obviously that's your buses and any transportation vans that you have for student transportation. The custodial maintenance is your equipment and your maintenance vehicles, as well as the equipment. So your mowers, even your watering reels, you guys have Bobcats and John Deere equipment, things like that. Roofing is pretty obvious there. You've got a lot of costs here in your second 10 years on the roofing. And there's some additional cost down. You have a lot of standing metal seams. So some cost that's there that's deferred is painting. So you may paint that at 25 years, but you get a 50-year life out of that. So there's down the road a little further yet, you're going to get a big cost. There's even more of an increase on the roofing when you get to where the standing metal seam is. But that's outside of this 20-year snapshot when you get to those pieces. You can see flooring's pretty consistent. Asphalt is another big one, and you can see there, again, the pattern opposite of the roofing. You have a large cost early on and a little less cost in the second 10 years. And the reason for that is, in discussions with Jeff and Mike, the condition of the asphalt right now is poor. You know, we've been deferring maintenance, and when that happens, you get the base, you get problems with the base. And talking with them, with the condition of the current asphalt, we felt like it to redo everything initially for pulling out that base, replacing that base, and then covering back up on the second 10-year cycle. So when you go back now, once you've done that, then you get the opportunity to go back, you're really just grinding down the top layer and resurfacing that. So in that first 10-year cycle, that's why you'll see more of a cost there than in the second when it comes down. That 3.892 is probably where it will stay going forward if you can keep that base in good shape. You will have spots and patches you'll have to make throughout, but generally once you get that base solid, you're in good shape there if you can keep it maintained. And again, general building maintenance is fairly consistent. You know, that's your chillers, that's your pumps. Just anything that's general equipment inside of the building. And then athletics. And you'll notice athletics has a higher cost up front with a little less later because included in there is possibly in talking with the administration, there's a thought of possibly putting a stadium out at, I think it's at Munsell, and so we included those costs, the stadium, the track, and put a grass field in there. So we put in a dollar figure for that for planning purposes so that if you decide to go forward, that's something you've thought about, and that's, again, up to you guys decide that's something that we included in this total. You see below is a graph that just kind of shows you where your costs are at, just give you a quick snapshot. Obviously, the transportation vehicles, that's a big cost throughout, and that'll be consistent. That will only continue to go up. I think you guys have all been here long enough to know school buses have never gone down in price, they've always gone up. So that's something we can expect to continue to happen. And the other part to think about with this, especially looking at something that you're doing a 20-year comparison, is to think about what effect inflation has on this, because that average, and you see in that first 10 years, that average of 2.6 or 2.0 million dollars for maintaining in that first year, that $2 million isn't the same at year 10. That $2 million is going to go up. At year 20, it's going to go up. And what you see on the next page is I try to gather those costs, and you look at what I use, a 2.3 inflation rate for this. And looking at that is, you can see in the first year, it's 2.062 million. But when you get out here to year 10, it's now 2.5 on that same. So if you take that yearly average, it goes from it jumps up that much in that 10-year period. So then at the next graph down, you see that the second 10 years was averaged out to be, I'm sorry, it takes a second to reset. I'm trouble reading it. But it averages out, and then we have inflation on that 10 years for the first 10 years we're not starting. So we really have to start with year 11. And I don't know why that's not letting me read it. 3.1, I think it is. And you look at where that 3.1 ends up at year 20. You add that in, so your total costs jump up from the 45 million to the 58
million.
Yeah. So that's your difference of inflation factor over the 20-year period. So you can see that cost today to maintain versus the cost later is just going to continue as well. That's an important piece to remember, just because your dollars, when you look at funding for school districts, it's what you're bringing in, if it's a levy, a PI levy, or a bond issue, what those dollars are today, but also what you need to collect over a little period of time, and however you guys make a plan to cover the cost. But it's not just that cost that you're looking at today, it's the cost that you're looking at long term. With that, unless there's a specific category you want me to go over more in depth, I'll answer any questions that you have.
Is a part of your report, does that include kind of prioritizing based on your experience?
Yeah. What I will tell you is, so you go to things like on the building maintenance, what we included in there, because a lot of it has to do with your staff. They know. Mike and Jeff are in these buildings every day. They know. So we sat down and talked to them about what are your future plans, what are your needs. And Raymond's a good example. Mm-hmm. Raymond has a portion of Raymond you're not using. I think there's a plan to remove that portion that you're not using right now. And another part of Raymond is that the county, I think it's for sewer, is going to come in and they want you to tap in for the sewer. Mm-hmm. And there's a cost to that. So included in this are, talking to the staff and finding those costs, because those are obviously the priorities of a building like that. You can't just let the building sit without being used. It continues to decay, and so you either have to renovate it or you have to remove the piece that you're not using any longer. So we looked at what those costs were, and those are obviously your priorities and getting the things, is there asbestos in it, there's a lot of different variables in there that I think they've looked at, and we've tried to include that. Mm-hmm. Outside of the items that the administration have identified, then it's by life cycle. So we've gone through and said, okay, what age are your chillers? And where can we expect them? And really looking at 20 year, you're almost every chiller in the district, you're probably going to replace over the next 20 years. I use the ice tanks as an example. You just put those in, or are putting those in, and I'm not sure, Mike, that project is finished yet. So you put those in, but you're going to be looking at doing those again in 20 years. So your chiller and your boilers have about a 15-year life cycle. So you're going to probably hit every main piece of equipment over the next 20 years. And so that you're going to replace everything. So when I do it by life cycle, in this case, a 20-year was almost easy because everything's going to go at least once. So you put those in and find those to cost them today. So, yes, prioritizing is in discussion with administration. What are the things you have coming up, like the stadium, putting that in? What is it that you have? And then looking at the rest of it was based on life cycle experience what you have in the building, again, with the chillers and with the boilers and, an air handler, will last much longer. So there's some of those that won't necessarily fall in here. But hopefully that answers your question.
Mm-hmm. Any questions? Anything else? No?
I've
very glad that you have this information. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. And you know, as Todd and Diane know, anytime that have questions, happy to do it. You get a great resource there with Mike and Jeff. I mean, Jeff knows every inch of these buildings, walking in with them and what he's doing there. So he's, I mean, you've got a good resource there to know what to kind of prioritize and say when it comes down, okay, we found a way that we figure out how we're going to fund this, but then start prioritizing to do that. Do it, but it's just with because we all know in our daily jobs when we take on a project like this, it's a lot more there. So we gather this information now and then kind of fund it and get the administration to run it. But I commend you for doing a lot of I think districts will just bury their head in the sand and say, well, we know we have to deal with that, but the next board will deal with it or the next superintendent will deal with it. And in this case, you guys are taking it head on. So okay,
yeah,
we're not a critical, but we're getting there and how right. do we do it. So I commend you for taking
the step. Well, we appreciate it because it really, it's kind of been a missing link for us, you know, when you look at our overall comprehensive financial plan that we talk about, you know what I mean? So I think it's going to be really helpful for us.
Great.
Thank you very much.
You come back with any questions or anything else?
Jeff brings up a good point with the funding. I guess it's kind of a dichotomy where you have the expenditures that grow with inflation, whereas in state law, our revenue will not grow with inflation. It's set so that it does not. So in the absence of additional millage, our PI revenue will only grow based on new construction. So, I mean, that's obviously something we need to keep an eye on. There's a lot of value in having a report like this, and I think there's also a lot of value in coming at it as we did, where we went with expenditures first, whereas I think the normal practice would be you look at what's your revenue, and then you just try to start picking apart and what do we need to do, and then it always leaves something out.
Right.
I think looking at it this way, you know, we've got, you know, what are our real needs and put it out there, and then now the next step is, as well as bringing in, you know, meeting with Chris Dice and putting the technology piece in here, putting the curriculum piece in here, also putting in the debt service piece as our PI fund has been subsidizing the debt service payments. But beyond that, the next piece is going to be to bring in the revenue side and see how does this fit together, how do we need to prioritize, and those kinds of things. So that'll be what I'll be working on in the near future.
As I'm sitting here, having an opportunity now to kind of process some of the things that you presented, what I see is a lot of health and safety issues. You're talking about buses being in good service. You're talking about the buildings being safe and in good repair. Healthy environments for kids. Where water infiltration causes mold and some other problems. So I think this gives us at least the piece that we need in order to be able to sit down and begin to really look forward and think about and talk about how we're going to address this.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's the safety from the sidewalks to the parking lots, the buildings. You Raymond, that piece is there. The students aren't in that section, but that as it goes and outside. But that's also what will hopefully help when you go to the community and say, hey, we have a need, and here's what happens if we don't. I mean, that safety is the children's safety is big, and that's hopefully will be what helps you get these repair or these maintenance and ongoing cost covered.
Okay. Again, thank you very much.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Thank you very much. Okay. I did want to point out, Todd, that I really appreciate that revised format of the financials that you sent to us. So kind of a condensed format, including that variance analysis. I mean, that to me, it's key, you know, and numbers change and they're not what the budget is, but why? I mean, if you don't know why, then it's really not meaningful. So appreciate that and having the graphs in there too. So
thank you.
Thank you. All right, board president's report. I attended the Chamber of Commerce board meeting this morning, and Mrs. Mankins presented yet again. So she's going to be pretty good at this presentation on the early college high school, but obviously there's so much excitement in our business, whatever area here in Union County and stuff. So that was very well received. Let's see. Also, something that our board has been working on since our last meeting is that we've had a couple of sessions, work sessions, to talk about our goals and objectives. And they kind of came out of reviewing our superintendent and treasurer. Part of that review is for them to develop their goals and objectives for the coming year. And I felt like as a board, we really needed to try and do the same thing. And we're all trying to align those to our district strategy. And so I think we should all, everybody has a copy. From our work sessions, we talked about those four areas in our district strategy: student learning, financial stability, safety, and developing community engagement. And so we used those for our outline and came up with areas that we want to focus on, and then started to fill in based on some brainstorming that we did. So you had tasked Ed and myself to sit down and try and pull something together, so sent that out to you, and we would like to schedule another work session, hopefully before our next meeting. And I don't know if anybody had a chance to look at their calendar or not, but next week or the week following, if we have some time, I would like to try and schedule something.
I will be gone the first week of September. I'll be gone the whole week.
Okay. So then that takes us into next week. So if people have time next week on either Monday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
Thursday would work for me.
Monday or Thursday will work.
Okay. That's August. That's Thursday, August 28th. And I don't know, Brian.
Are you talking about Thursday night or during?
Well, we could. Let's see. Thursday, we could start at 4-ish, right? Is that's about the earliest for you, Ed? Mm-hmm. And I could get off work a little early, so we could start at 4 and hopefully keep it at 2 hours, somewhere in that time frame.
Yeah, that's fine.
You want to tentatively go with that?
Thursday, 4 o'clock.
Thursday, 4 o'clock.
August 28th.
August 28th. Okay. Great. That's wonderful. Thanks.
And if I could just add, one of the things that would be helpful is if you come in with some examples of the types of actions that as you can see on there, we've got some spaces for that. Start adding any particular actions in.
Right.
And we're not limited to what is shown here, so please feel free to...
Any kind of edits, any kind of revisions, you know, things that you see on there you don't understand or whatever, so we can just have some good discussion and hopefully get closer to finishing, if not actually finishing. So.
And then one more, I'm sorry.
Sure, yeah.
And again, the purpose of the outline is just to have a discussion. It will go into a narrative format once we have those things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Thank you. Let's see, another item is we do are the Central Region of the Ohio School Boards Association. They do recognize what they call a friend of public education and an exemplary school employee. And so they send an email out to districts that are part of the Central Region and said, if you'd like to nominate somebody, send in those nominations. And so we did, as you all know, we had discussed that at our work session, and so we sent in a nomination for Bruce Daniels as our friend of public education and for our exemplary school employee. And I must go back a little bit. This is not for teachers because they're awarded at a different time. And so our exemplary school employee was Joanne Morbitzer of our food service department. So those nominations have been sent in, and their fall conference is on September 24th. So I'm not sure when they actually make those selections. I think they pick 3 to 5 people. So we think we have great candidates, and we'll see what happens. So, and we appreciate everything they do for us. I just want to touch briefly on this. We had also, as a part of our work session, we talked about we really want to increase our communications, both with the community and within the school district, and so we are going to try doing some building liaisons this year. So we did pass out a sign-up sheet, and the purpose behind that is for each one of us to have 2 buildings, so it can be school buildings. It also includes transportation, food service, maintenance, receiving, but 2 buildings that you can kind of focus on doing your visits. It doesn't mean that you can't go to the other buildings, but it means that we try to develop a little better relationship with those buildings, and if something big is going on, you can share it at the board meeting and say, hey guys, you may want to stop out at Edgewood because they're going to be doing this, or you know, something like that. So that's our goal for doing that. And that's all I have. Any questions? Next one, the High Point Report. Kevin Deco had a business, something come up at work, so he could not make it here tonight. So I did forward his report to everybody. It's a summer meeting. It was a pretty light agenda. So I think really the one thing that stood out to me was that Dr. Price, their superintendent, did announce that he's going to be retiring July 31st of 2015. Other than that, I didn't really see anything too major. So, no questions? Let's move on to the legislative report.
Sure. Well, we've got a couple of things that I'd like to just bring to your attention. Two important items. Currently, the Ohio Constitutional Modernization Commission is looking at some potential changes to the Constitution, and one of the things that has been brought before them is a change that would delete the clause thorough and efficient from the language that describes the system of common public schools in Ohio. And we are going to have some further discussion and motion on that a little bit later. But the other thing is currently in front of the House Rules and something else committee, I'll get it here in a minute, is House Bill 597. And the purpose of House Bill 597 is to repeal the Common Core standards in Ohio and prohibit them from being used by public schools. And I have some things that I'd like to get to you. The first thing, and to be very honest, I stole all this from somebody else or copied it. this comes from, and I noted on the bottom, this comes from...
At least you're honest.
Footnote. This was some testimony that was given to the state committee yesterday. But what it does is it's a bit of a historic background on the education reform in Ohio. And it's three pages, which is way too long. But that was as short as I could find. But as you can see from that, going back, education in Ohio, there has been a lot of things that have happened, a lot of studies, a lot of proposals, a lot of legislation, and so forth. And the latest has been the Common Core Standards. And the Common Core Standards, as I understand it, and as I've tried to answer questions about it, George Bush said no child should be left behind. But he didn't necessarily say left behind from what. That in itself doesn't set a standard. And so the Common Core State Standards are exactly that. They are standards. And this page is from the Department of Education website. And what it does is it compares the Common Core Standards with the 2001 Ohio academic content standards that we had in place. Go back through the history and you glance at that, you see that Ohio was looking at what kids were trying to learn and recognize based on some of the reports that kids weren't learning as much as they should. And part of the problem was that there were no specific goals. So in 2001, we adopted a set of goals. And what this does is essentially attempt to try to cross-reference what some of the standards are. And I've selected, I think that's enough copying here. Okay. We got, is there an extra one that's sixth grade?
Okay.
Or 12th, yeah, sixth grade. Okay. And then here's a standard first grade. And
okay. Yeah. Okay, got it.
All right. Now, Common Core standards only in Ohio only apply to math and language arts, English language arts. Yes, I think that's it. And in social studies and in science, Ohio has set its own standards. And so, some of the criticisms, so to some degree, I think. People are saying, we've got all these standards and they're all coming from the federal government, they're all doing something. Well, even the Common Core standards didn't come from the federal government. And the standards in Ohio on science and social studies are completely homegrown. And if you go and you try to look at the science correlations that the state does, it will confuse you no end. So I didn't make any copies of that. Social studies was at least somewhat understandable. But essentially the difference in the social studies since 2001 is they've gone from, I think, 9 areas of social studies concentration, and they've kind of pushed them together and ended up with 5. Now, I went online, and if you go to the House of Representatives and you find the committee that is hearing this, you can pull up online the written comments of the people that are testifying. And I spent the rainy day today going through reading, not all, but I read most of everything that the state legislatures have heard over the last several days. There was a teacher, a third grade teacher, Rose Stetsch, shooting, I think. She testified on the 18th that she struggled with how to implement the standards. She questioned that there was no standard for teaching money in the third grade. And then the rest of her testimony primarily centered on criticism of the third grade reading guarantee. They had a 13-year-old, Tommy Hunter, who was frustrated with math and primarily the story problems. He didn't like story problems.
Sounds
he
familiar,
liked the
doesn't
numbers
it?
And the line and add and subtract and so forth. He said he went to an online homeschool program that gave him math in the format that he wanted. And Carrie Monster, who's a teacher and a parent, saw a textbook that she says was a Common Core textbook where students were required to learn what vertices was. Now, they were required to use the word vertices in kindergarten. Okay? And she thought that that was inappropriate. And so certainly you know, there were some questions out there maybe as to how things were being delivered, the instructional methods that were being used, but most of the testimony from that day didn't touch on whether the standards were wrong or not. The 19th, there were two people that testified, a James Milligan and a Sandra Slotsky, both of them professors, one from California, one from Arkansas, and their primary objective or statement or objection to it was that the people that validated the study lacked academic credentials. But they even mentioned in their testimony that the standards themselves are very good. That they, you know, the standards are fine, but this process that we went through was not good. On the 20th, Michael Donnelly, homeschooling advocate, said that there was a lack of state control and a lack of local control. And as I understand, the state of Ohio adopted these. Mm-hmm. The State Department of Education has said this is what this school board and other school boards have implemented, and we've selected the curriculum and we've done those kinds of things. Jason Bedrick from the Cato Institute, Center for Educational Freedom, questions the instructional freedom within Common Core. And he favors parental choice among educational providers. He didn't speak to the standards themselves, but thought that people, parents, ought to be able to choose whether the kids went to a STEM school or public school or private school or those kinds of things. Jane Robbins, American Principals Project, opposed the data tracking of students and a privacy issue. She felt that that was Dr. Kelly Coles, president of Ohio School Board's Leadership Council, opposed the spending and the cost of the project, said that schools were spending too much money. Douglas Oliver, associate professor of Toledo, felt that the copyright prohibited Ohio from making any changes to the standards because the paper says you can't use this, you know, this language or whatever, and so forth.
The copyright of what?
The copyright of the Common Core standards.
So basically, all of this has been people testifying against the Common Core for the last couple days. And then that is, at what point are they going to be testifying for the Common Core?
It's expected that next week opponents of the measure will oppose. Mm-hmm. But I raise this thing. So far, it's been proponents of the legislation to do away with the Common Core standards, but most of the criticisms have not been aimed at the standards, and that's why I passed the standards out to you from the standpoint that this is, you know, this is what the schools and what the teachers are really looking at. They're looking at the standards, and there certainly is plenty of room to discuss the process and, you know, political agendas and other things, but I would encourage and advise that this board voice some support for continuing in this direction. We put a lot of time and effort. We have seen, as we've gone through our buildings, we've seen some amazing things taking place as teachers have implemented teaching strategies designed around the goals that have been established by the Common Core. And as we went from building to building to building, we didn't see a duplication of teaching style,
right,
of methods of instruction, of learning that was taking place. It was, you know, everything was individualized,
right,
by the teacher, for the students that they had in their particular class.
So plenty of freedom in there. Right.
And I think we've seen that demonstrated.
Right.
Now, down the road, I mean, there's always room for improvement. There's always things that can be done better. But we haven't really had a chance to put this into place. One of the criticisms that is being raised is that this, you know, that there's no evidence that these standards will work.
Right.
And I would hope that we would at least give it the chance to find
itself. Right. I agree. Well, yeah. So we know who our representatives are. So if you have a chance,
I will be testifying Wednesday in opposition to the bill. I was contacted yesterday, so I will be submitting that testimony after the weekend as well. So I think my biggest concern, and certainly you talked about many of them, but if you think about this year's freshmen and the proposal on the table, they will experience three different graduation requirements by their senior year. So this year's freshmen, the proposal at the table is leave as is this year, go to Massachusetts standards for 2 years, and then have our own set of standards the fourth year. So they will have four sets of graduation criteria, exposure requirements by the end of time, and anyone in education can't think that that's right by kids. And if nothing else, this Board of Education has continued to stand by what's right by kids, and that's not right.
Right.
It's not right by our teachers. It's not right by all the things we've invested in the process so far. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's not right by our kids. And we're having a hard time right now articulating what those, you know, as a, you know, incoming freshman parent, you want to know what it is your kid's going to be required to do by the time they graduate. And there's a lack of that.
I'm glad you're going down there and you're going to express that. I think that's really important. What's your take on the content of the standards so far? All these comments most of them don't even really address the content of the standards. But
that's,
you would think
that's,
ultimately that's what it's
think.
About. What do you think about the standards?
So the standards are more rigorous. For example, things that were used to be taught in, I'm going to make some big generalizations here, seventh grade are now down in fifth grade. Mm-hmm. So there's significant shifting that has taken place. But certainly schools have been preparing this for quite some time. There's not anything in there that's earth-shattering. It's certainly the things we talked about on opening day. It's shifting from knowledge to application. As you look at the verbs in the new standards, you'll see words such as analyze, argue, debate. I was just reading through some of them, demonstrate, you know, things of those nature that are making that shift. Take two ideas and compare and contrast, and then provide a summary of your thoughts. So it's about, you know, taking a stance and defending it and being able to support that. So it's about going deeper, and there's not as many. I mean, I think that's the other thing. It's not anymore about, you know, as many as we can squeeze in. It's about going deeper and prioritizing and going deeper with that knowledge and understanding.
Yeah.
And that's the essential part of learning.
What Dick, is there something like this on the math standards that we can get?
Absolutely.
This is really useful to me.
Right.
Hearing those, like you said, the verbs even, just this
Mm-hmm. We can email out some links or something like
right.
that.
And, well, the link is simple. Just go to the Department of Education.
Yep. Right, okay. Right.
And
all that's there.
You will be able. It'll talk about Ohio's new standards and so forth. And you go there and pull all that up. I also did not hand out for you. In 2010, I've got the PowerPoint presentation that was made to the Department of Education by Stan Huffner, Associate Superintendent and for Instruction, and he goes through and talks about the history of the standards and all these kinds of things and how the community, school, teachers all had input. And all of the evidence that I have found and evidence that the Ohio State website, I don't know if it's included in here, but, you know, hundreds of teachers and school administrators and other educational professionals all had a hand in, putting these standards together and giving the standards and talking about them and implementing the standards and so forth. So I think there are some misunderstandings and maybe some misconceptions about it. And I would be the first to say that, you know, it is not without, you know, criticism and good, fair criticism. But what I found was that a lot of the people that were testifying before the state legislature were talking about things that really were not related to the standards specifically themselves. They were looking at the process, connections to the federal government, lack of state. One gentleman was arguing for competitive federalism, where states need to compete against one another. And that was the whole focus of his argument against this. I coached football for a lot of years, and I always, you know, said, tell me the rules of the game, and then give me a chance to play. But if you keep changing the rules on me, and you keep changing, you know, the outcome that we're trying to achieve, you know, it no longer becomes a doable thing anymore. And so I would hope, I'm not saying Common Core is perfect by any means, okay? But let's at least give it a chance and give our educators in this state, our teachers in the classroom, an opportunity to see what they can do.
Thank you for putting all this information out here for us. Okay. So we'll
apologize for the paper and all
okay.
of that. But
it's good information to have, so I appreciate it. Okay. Is that it?
No. Yes, it is, because we're going to talk about the...
Right, okay, yes, we'll do that later. Okay. Mrs. Powers, anything on the Safety and Drug Committee?
We had a speaker out on August 12th for the parent meeting, also on August 14th for the fall sports meeting. We now have got a donation from Bruce Daniels at Honda to put together some shirts for our first Friday night football game. And the shirts at this point are going to say on the front, Friday night done right, and on the back says no alcohol, no drugs. So we're really excited about those. We did check into maybe some footballs, and I think they're still checking into that because they said they stopped doing them. So we're trying to maybe get that implemented again, that we can put the start talking on the footballs.
Okay.
And hopefully have some banners and stuff. So now they're putting together the meetings for the year, and then I'll start slotting in people for those. And then we'll have the talks during the game, during mm-hmm. halftime, things like that. We'll have different speakers that have audio taped and mm-hmm. start talking to the parents. So great. It's going well. I'm looking forward to see this year. Last year we didn't have much time, but this year I think that it's really going to be a big push. Yeah,
that's so great.
That's it.
Okay. Public participation.
We have one.
Okay. And we do want to go over quickly here that for our public participation, we'll ask that you will give your name and address, and you're allotted 3 minutes to share what you would like to share with us.
My name is William Russell. Rusty is my nickname, Distelhorst. I reside at 580 Meadows Drive here in Marysville. I am here tonight at, well, real quick snapshot of my life. I have 6 children. The older 3 have already graduated. The school system is absolutely incredible. My second oldest has Asperger's and is autistic. He graduated from Marysville and is now going into salvage diving. So that, you know, he got a great there. Mm-hmm. My third oldest graduated last year. He is right now at basic training for the National Guard and will be entering winter quarter at OSU to be a structural engineer. Then I have a third grader at Mill Valley and a second grader at Mill Valley. And I have one that's just about to start, well, kindergarten next year. So I have a fun life. I am a scouting commissioner. My units that I am specifically over are the Church of Latter-day Saints in Dublin and Worthington. I'm their commissioner for all of them, but I'm also a assistant cub master for the Catholic Church here in town, and I also am a scoutmaster at the LDS Church in town. So my life is basically scouting. What I'd like to bring tonight is two proposals, and I can pass these out, or I'll just state them. Actually, I think it'd probably be easier, and you can look at them if you like. Proposal one is to allow the Boy Scouts of America and or Girl Scouts of America to be the color guard to raise the flag at all home sports games. Color guard members should be attending Marysville schools. We don't want Fairbanks people at the... Not that we don't like them, but... and the second proposal is to allow us, Boy Scouts of America, to set up a booth at football home game to give information on local scouting activities. And that's, like, broad spectrum. All the different scouting units that are in the Marysville School District, we'll pass out their number if someone wants to, Monday's back because I have sports. Okay, well, we have Tuesday. We have whatever. Mm-hmm. Those are my two proposals. I would like to say that our superintendent is absolutely awesome. She's gotten back when, people have sent things to her.
Have you talked to the athletic director?
I have not talked to the athletic director. We kind of talked about it as commissioners and said, let's start at the top and so that they can tell the school board so that we can be told exactly where should we take this, mm-hmm. How should this go? And since you're the governing body, mm-hmm. it would make sense that you could tell us exactly what we need to do.
Sure. So what we'd want to do is get you together with Joe, the athletic director, Joe Blind. I'm not familiar with whose responsibility currently. It would be unfair for me to say, sure, go put the flag up, because I'm not sure the process for that now. But I will touch base with him tomorrow morning, help you guys get connected. And we can move forward from there. I know our first game is a week from
tomorrow.
Okay. So let's see what we can. Certainly, we like our kids to be involved in the community atmosphere. As far as the stand, we'll have to talk with him, too. I'm not sure exactly what that would look like or how that would work. I think we'd be more inclined to maybe do some kind of flyer when people come in. That kind of thing that actually I'm not sure how successful a stand would be really inside. For you inside a football stadium. I may be underestimating there, but we'll certainly talk to Joe and see what kind of options we can come up with.
Okay.
Is that fair enough?
Oh, that's
and
wonderful.
I have your phone number, so you'll hear from me no later than Monday.
I don't know if I put my email down there.
Okay. Is that the best way?
Email's good. Everything in my life's kind of crazy. I don't often...
I live in the world that's crazy, so yeah, I can relate.
It's kind
so
of,
if you put that on there, I'm happy to communicate that way.
Okay.
Is that fair enough?
That is awesome. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Great.
Thank you for your work with Boy Scouts.
Oh,
I have two Eagle Scouts, so I think it's a great organization.
Children in scouting, if they stay in it for 4 years, uh-huh. are 90% likely to graduate and go to college. I mean, that statement right there, whether it's 4 years of Cub Scouts or 4 years of Boy Scouts, that's a huge thing.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
That's great. All right.
All
right.
Okay. Next on our agenda is approval of the minutes from prior meeting. So we need a motion to approve the minutes from our regular board meeting from July 17th and our work sessions on July 22nd and August 11th.
So moved.
Motion by Mrs. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call, please.
Ms. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Mr. Luke.
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant.
Yes.
Ms. Devine.
Yes. Motion carries. Next item is to appoint the delegate for the OSBA, what's that called? Legislative, I don't know.
Annual business meeting.
Yeah, to appoint our business delegate for the OSBA meeting in November. And that's something I've done that the past couple years, and I spoke with Mr. Smith about maybe covering that as our legislative committee chair. Thought that that might make sense for him to be involved in that. And that whole meeting, it's basically OSBA reviews their legislative platform, and they accept recommendations from school districts for revisions, for additions, things like that. And so that meeting is just spent kind of reviewing any changes to the platform, voting on it. The delegate kind of has a responsibility to share that information with the board before that meeting, and then attend the meeting and do the voting. So I would make a motion that we appoint Mr. Smith as our delegate.
I second it.
Okay.
Did he know that ahead of time?
He did know that ahead of time.
I did.
And he did agree.
Okay.
So this is not a case of, what?
Right. And there does need to be a backup. If somebody is interested in being the backup, that's fine. If not, I'm willing to be the backup.
I nominate.
And I don't think we really need a nomination, actually. I think we're... I don't know that we really need the nomination, but we have that on the table, so let's take a roll call.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
All right. It's kind of interesting to be in that meeting, so. Okay, thank you very much. All right, next up is... a motion to approve a resolution to include or to keep providing a thorough and efficient public education in the wording of the Constitution of the State of Ohio. So do we have a motion to approve that resolution?
I'll move.
Okay, Mr. Smith, second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers. And how about some discussion on this?
I've got to hear my notes on the adoption of the program. There was a lawsuit in 1991 questioned whether Ohio offers its children a thorough and efficient system of common schools. The Ohio Supreme Court on four separate occasions, this is the Durall decision, four separate occasions said no, the state system of education fails to meet the educational standards of thorough and efficient that were established in 1851. If you go back, in 1851 there was a lot of debate about public education and standards for public education, and Ohio was the first state to use the term thorough and efficient. Since then, a number of other states have adopted the same language. Recently, there's a debate has centered on a recommendation made by the Ohio Constitutional Modernization Commission, Education, Public Institutions, and Miscellaneous and Local Government Committee. The 130th General Assembly enacted legislation to establish this modernization commission. I think it is required every 15 or 20 years or something. To make proposals on update and modernization. And there's a long and lengthy process. You have to get a majority of the subcommittee, then two-thirds of the committee, and then two-thirds of the... and then it goes to a majority of both the House and the Senate, and then it goes to the voters of Ohio. So there's this... We changed the Constitution. It's a long, lengthy... very difficult process, so changes don't occur easily. But the fact that the standard would be removed is very problematic on a couple of points. One, it is the basis of the Durault decision that's really Durault's decision that's really driving a lot of educational reform, financial reform in the state of Ohio. And additionally, there was an article in the Columbus Dispatch where the presenter its author, said that his proposal would require the General Assembly to only provide for an organization, administration, and control of a public school system in the state supported by public funds. What that would look like, how it would be structured, removed. The opponents say that this would virtually eliminate all public accountability for public school funding. The thorough and efficient standard has held legislators' feet to the fire for 160 years. Without a standard, public education could be diminished markedly and citizens would have no viable recourse. One of the rationales that's being offered is that the courts shouldn't get involved in school funding. And there may be arguments on several different sides of that issue. But I think that, again, as we've talked about Common Core standards, setting goals and targets, the Ohio Constitution, with the words thorough and efficient, sets the goal, it sets the standard. And what that looks like and how we achieve it has been a challenge ever since the state of Ohio was first created, when land grants were created to establish schools in the Northwest Territory, and it continues today. And I feel very strongly that we need to keep that language in there and continue to work to try to do the best we can for the kids of this state, and particularly of this school district in our community.
I think some of the things that I've read that I found concerning was that the comments from, I think his name is Chad Riedler, the one who introduced this whole idea, concept of changing it, was that by making some changes in there, it took the judicial side out, and so there wouldn't be lawsuits, you know, like, well, but isn't the whole purpose of a judicial system to oversee your legislation? Well, and if you remove that, you're taking away the checks and balances.
Well, is it that it would remove future lawsuits, or what would happen retroactively to those core decisions if that language was taken out? And do you know what would happen to those?
Well, essentially, what most have looked at this and said is, if you don't have a standard, if you hire somebody to paint your house, but you don't have a standard as to what the house ought to look like when it's finished, you know, anything that they do that constitutes painting might be good enough.
I get that. I'm talking about those. What happens to those four specific decisions?
They would go
by the wayside. They would
just be nullified.
They'd be nullified. Okay, and if you... The only way you can file a lawsuit is if you can show that somebody has failed to perform to some standard. And if you have no standard, then you can never show the person failed to perform. So, you know, going back to that, maybe the house, I don't know whether it's a good analogy or not, but, you know, the person walked up and said, I want you to paint the house, and they took the brush, and I'm done. You know, I put paint on your house. You know.
Do you think there's any real chance that this is going to go very far? Because you outlined how hard it is to change the Constitution. Is there anything realistic happening here? Or?
Don't know. But I think it's important for us, for me as a board member, for us as a board, to say that standards in Ohio are important, and thorough and efficient is complete and whole. The kids ought to get a complete education, a whole education, the education that they're required, and that has to be efficient in how it's presented, how it's run, and so forth. And so I think it's important for us. Like I said, it's important for me, and I think it's important for our board to take a position that is in itself important, that we maintain those words. Whether or not there's a realistic possibility that they be removed, I think it's important for us to respond to the challenge.
We're sending a message of support, of keeping them in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are we ready for roll call? Okay, roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Okay, motion carries, so we will sign this resolution and it will get forwarded. Possibly. Let's see. Next item is the separate superintendent HR action item. Treasurer. I was highlighted that and I wrote, went right over it. Approve the treasurer CFO action item. Sorry about that. Motion, please.
So moved.
Mr. Pleasant, I'll second that. Any discussion? Okay, pretty standard stuff. Yeah. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Next, we have the superintendent HR action item. We need a motion to approve Tom Powers as the football head coach for the 7th grade Bunsold Middle School. I'll make that motion. Do we have a second?
I will second.
Mr. Smith? Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Abstain.
Okay, motion carries with Mrs. Powers abstaining. And now we have the superintendent items, and there was a question on the that's on the volunteer list.
Right. And that do I need to, Mike is on there, Michael, to volunteer for the D.C. trip. Do I need to abstain on that vote? Do we need to do that separately?
We could
make the motion. Well, just abstain, I guess.
This is safe, just abstain.
I think we could abstain. I think that's fine. We could do either thing. We could make a motion to pull him out, or we could just abstain. So,
yeah, I'll just abstain.
Okay. So we need a motion to approve the HR, the superintendent action items, which would include 11-1, 11-2, 11-3.
So moved.
Mr. Pleasant, a second.
Second.
Mr. Smith, any discussion?
Yes. I just wanted to note one of the things on the human resources actions. We've got a number of people that are crossing guards for the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important that we recognize. Mm-hmm. I was taking my grandson to his first day of kindergarten, and the crossing guards were there making sure kids could get across the street and, mm-hmm. and so forth. And they're very visible in the, mm-hmm. in the morning, but I don't think that we necessarily recognize the role that they play in making sure kids get to and from safely. Mm-hmm.
That's right. They do a nice job. And I guess I would just like to point out that we do have a few resignations on there, and you know, we always thank everyone for their service and wish them well as they move on to whatever other jobs they may be taking on, even if it's just retirement. Okay, roll call, please.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Abstain.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And now, comments and questions from board members. Mr. Luke.
Are we on 12.1?
We are on 12.1.
Well, this was an exciting week for the kids and the teachers. I certainly allowed them enough to experience it, but I wanted to mention it's exciting for us, too.
Yes, it
the
is.
The new school year. Mm-hmm. My first year as a school board member, and I've got exciting plans for the year. I'm going to mm-hmm. continue to go to the training sessions. I'm going to mm-hmm. go visit the buildings. I'm going to go to some football games.
Yay!
Not necessarily my thing, even though I had two sons who played football. I went to a game last fall, and it's obviously a big community event. Mm-hmm. It's not just
kids bashing into each other. So I'm looking forward to all of that and to the new year. And I also specifically wanted to mention about the Common Core, that that's not going to go away. I think that discussion and that argument and that concern is going to continue, and I'm going to, you know, try to get more informed about it, and I would ask for help from the administrators, the teachers, the parents, and the students. You know, let us know how these standards are affecting you so we can be better informed about these things in case we're called to make decisions.
Thank you. Mr. Smith?
It was very exciting today to see all the smiles on faces. We went to Edgewood today, and the kids lined up in two rows and walked into school quietly this morning. And everybody except the kindergartners, and they were bouncing around. But that was just pure joy. And I know that I had an opportunity back at the end of the day, and the teachers were walking out, and they had smiles on their face. And so things got off to a really good start in our district today, and that was exciting to see. And I think that the staff, as we've looked at buildings, the custodial staff, maintenance people, all the people responsible for getting things organized, secretaries and guidance counselors, all the support staff in the district have done a marvelous job. Limiting the number of issues and conflicts down to something hopefully manageable in each of the buildings. Whenever you have almost 5,200 people all show up at one time, it takes a lot of organization, it takes a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So, everybody has done a marvelous job in making sure that things were ready for the kids when they showed up. So, thank you.
Well, I'm looking forward to a great year. Thanks for including us yesterday. That was really awesome to hear Dr. Ross talk about, like, putting us up there, you know, kind of made you swell up a little bit, and, you know, and you're like, yeah, we're from here. So that was a lot of fun, and I've always been proud of Marysville Schools and glad that my grandchildren now have the opportunity, as it continues to get greater, to go through the school system and to be a part of it. I'm excited.
Mr. Pleasant.
Thanks again for the scoreboard. Glad to get that one off the table. Got a little close to the end here. Same way with the blacktop. I was a little nervous on blacktop. Mill Valley was still open, but got it taken care of, and that looks good too. So thanks for all those.
Mr. Johnson.
Nothing to add.
Nothing? Smith? Okay. I of course have to say a few things. I want to thank my board because it's really been a joy watching this transition from January with three new members and everybody's willingness to get out there and get some training and read articles and work on some goals. So I think, you know, we sit here and we're talking about this district strategy, but we don't have a goal. What kind of a role model are we? So I think that's really important. I appreciate it. It was fun to go to convocation, the excitement there. Talked to some teachers, and they're just as excited to get back there as the students. Not all of them, you know, but it's a tough transition. But, you know, the bottom line is that even though it's summertime, I mean, it's obvious that there was so much work that went on over the summertime, so much planning. And, I mean, here at the board office, you guys are here year-round. But I just appreciate all the time that everybody puts in to make for a smooth start like we've had. So, and with all the transition, I feel like, you know, we're finally to that point where we went through cuts, we went through a lot of change, and now this is where things are going to take off. So I'm excited. That's it. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So move.
Okay. Mrs. Powers, motion and a second by Mr. Pleasant. Roll call, please.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries, and our meeting is adjourned at 8:39. Thank you.
And if there's something that I handed out you didn't get a copy of and you'd like, I'll peel something off and make sure that you get it.
Okay.
What's your name, Dan?
Okay. I'm gonna take. I'll take it.
Thank you for that.
And here.
Did you, all that testimony, did you just watch the video? I really don't care.
I don't need it. What's your name, Dan?
Okay, I'll go up here to my place.
Thank you.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, I've heard that.
The problem is that anything over an hour, I got to think about getting up. Again, once I get going.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay, I'm here. Thanks for calling me back.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
I got that. My knees are creaking. Did you try?
Yeah,
I'll get with Joe in the morning. All right. Oh, my goodness, guys. I'm going home. It's
been a long day. Sometimes you got to stand up.
No problem.
Okay, I'll pass it on to her. Okay. All right.
I'll let her know. I have to get going here.
I'm wrapping up a meeting myself tonight. I was glad to take the call because I'm really thrilled. This looks like it's going to work out for Sunday.
No.
Okay.
Exactly. So
Well, there's one at 8 and one at 11. Yeah. And we can talk more about, but both of them are like 10 or 15 minutes into the service and then the song is okay. Yeah. That's perfect. Thanks so much, Katrina. I appreciate it.
One of the people in their testimony said, that it was fought over state rights, and I think I would encourage our legislature to impose the federal government on the state. Wait a minute.
We have a choice.
The North won. States' rights lost.
Right. But at the same time, we had a choice as a state.
Sure. Well, that's part of the
standards. Or yeah. Continue with
the distortion of the conversation. Yeah. It's really frustrating to me because I'm sympathetic to the right feelings, but if it doesn't apply to what we're talking about here, then let's just not.
Well, I thought it was interesting. You know, the
if that's the best they could find to testify for this, it's not very.
It's not a very strong case.
No, it's not.
Well, unless there's. It's a politically.
For the wrong reason.
Some of the language. This one.